Well, we are going to take advantage of some time and look into the greatest book that was ever written.
Amen.
And we're going to look at one of the greatest authors that have written in this book. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. Praise Jesus. If Jesus came back tonight to get us, would you go with him? Do you know that you would go with him? How do you know you would go with him? Most important question you'll ever be asked. Shortly after the resurrection, as Mary Magdalene had come to the tomb. We're talking about right after the resurrection. That Jesus had appeared to some of the disciples, not all of them, but to some of them. And then in verse 24 of John chapter 20, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. Boy, wouldn't that be sad? If you were not where you should be when Jesus comes. But I don't know that he wasn't where he should be or whatever, but he was not with the rest of them. But the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, Except. So, what is your except? You will serve God except that. Well, Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails. Well, let's see. You know, sometimes people say, I've had people tell me many times, well, I won't believe unless. You know, something how we put guidelines on God. But this ought to seem like quite an experience whereby surely, as well as Thomas knew Jesus, if he was to see in his hands the print of the nails, if he was to see the holes that the nails made in his hands, that ought to convince a person, shouldn't it? But no. He says, and thrust my hand into his side. Well, he starts out with, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, then he says, and touch them. It's not enough just to see them. Okay, I've got to make sure that's a real hole there. So, I'm not going to believe that he's alive unless I see him, I see the holes in his hand, and to make sure those holes in his hand are real, if I put my finger in those holes, and that's not enough. He says, I want to also put my fingers in his side where the soldier put the sword. So what is our except? We'll believe everything that Jesus said if what happens. What has to take place? What would have to transpire in our lives for us to have a greater degree of belief? I mean, to believe what the Word says. I want you to note that John says that he wrote these things. He wrote this book, the book of John, not the whole Bible. He wrote the book of John so that you might read it and believe. That's why he said he wrote it. So that anyone could read this book, the book of John. And so it's always good if people say, well, what could I read in the Bible? Read the book of John. Okay? John says he wrote this so that people could read it and believe who Jesus is. And being much like us, Thomas was just slow to believe. Why? What is there that we cannot believe about Jesus? When he says he'll never leave us, do we think he will? Yeah, sometimes people say, well, I know he's with me, but I don't feel him and haven't felt him for a long time or whatever. Or I don't think he's going to meet my needs. He said he would meet your needs. He didn't necessarily say he would meet all of our greeds, but he'd meet our needs. And he tells us in his word what he will do for us. Why are we so slow to believe? I mean, really believe. Really, really believe. You know, shortly after the resurrection, Jesus gave the Great Commission. Now, he didn't say, hey, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So you just ask, I'll meet all your needs, and you live happily until you go to heaven and you'll live even happier. No, he gave us a commandment to love one another with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbors, ourselves, and go into all the world and tell other people about it. Our commandment is, as Christians, our responsibility as everyday Christians at the workplace, at the shopping center, at the educational place, at the recreational place, is to tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's it. I mean, of course, we're supposed to serve him, but the commission to all Christians is to go into all the world and tell people about him. What is if we were smart enough that we could turn the economies around in the whole world? Well, our nation is getting ready to try that, but it won't work. But if we found an answer to most of the problems in the world today and people didn't have Jesus, they have nothing. I mean, one thing for sure, if they lived to be 90 years old, everybody lived to be 90 years old, and they had everything they wanted in life and they died, they die with nothing. I mean, they have nothing except forever torment. They're going to be separated from God. Now, you think about being separated from God. Now, we don't think about, we don't every day, all day, think about being with God and God being with us. But he is. You know, you have your next breath because God's with you. You have what sanity of mind we have because God's with us. He guides us throughout the day, and we don't even know it. See, we came along as a self-driving entity long before electric cars did. You know, we just went on, and God guided us, and he blessed us, and we didn't even think about it. But he does. He takes care of us. And to be without God is incomprehensible. I can't wrap my mind around that, being without God. And being without God forever. I can't wrap my mind around being without God 5 minutes. But Thomas, I mean, yeah, he's surrounded by people he loves, that he's been with. He's with some of the disciples there, and they said, we've seen the Lord. He said, I won't believe that. Wait, you won't believe that? You don't believe us? You don't believe what we say? Except I see the hole in his hand and put my finger in it. I won't believe. In fact, if I don't see and touch the hole in his side from the spear, I still won't believe it. What is our problem? I mean, really. What is if we were to spend the rest of our lives? Now, for some of us, you know, not as long as for others, perhaps. But what if we spent the rest of our lives dedicated to telling the world about Jesus. And let's say we lived anywhere from 15 years to 55 years. And then we died. Would people say about us, they sure wasted their lives? Well, of course we wouldn't. If we fulfilled the Great Commission to see that people in the world have heard about Jesus. And I want to tell you, people that have never heard, generally jump on this thing about Jesus. Because every God that they serve is a God that demands something of them. But with the living God, He gives to them. And He's the only God who can forgive sins. What is if we grasp what Jesus really did in the crucifixion and the burial, the being dead, and then coming back to life? If we could really grasp that, how would it change us? So Thomas, he has to see something. I will not believe except. What would it take? What would it take for any one of us, myself included, to become radical about Jesus? What would it take? What's the except? I can't believe that much unless I saw the sun move backward like Joshua did. What would it take? And why would it take that? Yeah. Now, you see, when Thomas says this, the Spirit of God had not been poured out on all flesh like we have today. Today, we live in the day of the Spirit of God is made available to all flesh. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that is unparalleled by any religion. And yet, do we really believe what he says? Or are we hoping it's true? Okay, so Thomas says, I won't accept. So, you know, whenever we put out fleeces before God, or we say, you know, if God will do this, if God will bless my business, if God will bless my job, if God will bring healing to me, you know, and I won't be able to believe. But if God does it, if God heals me of whatever my sickness, then I will believe him, and he doesn't do it. Well, with Thomas, 8 days passed. 8 days passed. And they were gathered together again. Thomas was with them. And in the middle of verse 26, it says, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. 8 days, and Jesus shows up. And the doors were shut. It was very unlikely that Jesus is going to show up there without knocking. They weren't expecting him to just appear. But then came Jesus, and John, who's a pretty stickler for details, says, and the doors were shut. And he stood in their midst and says unto them, peace be unto you. So now he turns to Thomas, and he says, okay, put your finger, reach thither your finger, and touch these holes. Put your hand in my side and believe. Don't be faithless. He says, be not faithless, but believe. Believe. Now, you know, we've got the written words of Jesus. Now, John says that he wrote this book of John. He wrote this book so that we reading this can believe that he is the Christ, He is the Son of God. And by believing, we can have eternal life. In fact, look in verse 30. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, or what I have written, are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. He said, that's why I wrote this. I wrote this so that you would have enough here to believe that Jesus was born of God. And that he died for our sins, and he came back to life after 3 days. Man, we just celebrated Easter, folks. And it's already slipped by our minds. Well, it's the center of everything that God is doing. And so, John says, I wrote this so you might believe. Believe that he is, in verse 31, Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that was spoken of in the Old Testament, is what he's saying. He's the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus is the Christ. I wrote these things so that whoever reads my book will know that Jesus is the Messiah referred to in the Old Testament. Are you with me? And you read John, you find, yeah, sure enough, we find a lot of references there to Old Testament, to Psalms and the writings of Moses and such. And he says, I wrote these things so that you can believe that Jesus is the Old Testament prophesied Messiah. And by believing that, you can have eternal life. Because if you believe that, you're going to act on it. If you're going to believe such an amazing truth. I mean, this man, Jesus, you know, it hadn't been that long ago since he was alive. I mean, really, a couple thousand years ago, you know, 2,000, 2,100 years, and Jesus was there. And isn't that difficult for us to believe? And the things that Jesus said and did, well, you know, he says there's a lot of things that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples. John says there's many things in verse 50. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of Thomas. And Thomas says, I won't believe it. He said, Jesus said to the disciples, they kill me and in 3 days I will rise. I mean, he made it plain, but it wasn't plain to them because they'd never seen him before. You know, it's kind of like people back in the 1800s, you know, they tell them, well, we're going to have a car here. And it's going to fly, you know, trying to get people to see an airplane. They couldn't comprehend that. And the disciples couldn't comprehend that. If they kill me, 3 days, I'm coming back to life. Wow, I wonder what he means by that. I wonder what kind of a parable this is. But we know now it wasn't a parable. And you know, they had a problem believing it even at the time he was crucified, at the time he resurrected. But if you would please note that Thomas said, after Jesus said in the last part of verse 27, be not faithless. Don't be without faith. But believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, never put his hands in his hands or his hand in his side. He said, my Lord and my God. Thomas came to a conclusion, an absolute conclusion. And as best we know, he gave his life for it. He concluded. He came to a conclusion and dedicated his life to this. This man, Jesus, that he knew for the last 3+ years that he had seen things in his presence that John follows up on, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of these disciples, in the presence of Thomas, and on and on and on. So, John says he did a lot of other signs. Okay. That are not written in this book, but the disciples saw them. Come on, Thomas, what's your problem? If we can figure out what our problem is, we'll know what Thomas's is. Maybe they were too associated with this natural life. You know, they're going to feed 5,000 people out here, plus women and children. And he asked Philip, you know, to go into town and get us some bread and what's the word? We can't buy enough bread for all these people. So maybe we've got the same problem. We just don't believe. Now, Jesus said to Thomas, don't be without faith. Don't be faithless. Wow. Lord, help our unbelief. See, we believe. I doubt that there's a person here that does not believe that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins. I would say every person here believes that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. Wow. Well, why do we have problem believing other things? Why do we have problem believing that he will direct our steps? That he will guide us? That he will give us wisdom to make right decisions? Wise decisions. When his word says, even his half-brother says, but inspired of the Holy Ghost, he says, if you will ask, he will give you wisdom. Well, see, what he really means is, if you ask, he'll give you wisdom.
That's right.
Amen. And so we can believe God and be at peace that if we die as rotten as we are, we're still going to go to heaven?
Yes.
We can believe that, but we can't believe that he'll give us wisdom or that he'll guide us or he'll meet our needs or he will save our loved ones. We've got a problem because we do not consciously think in this spiritual realm again that he is our Father. His Spirit lives in us. He guides us because he said he would. And he'll do all these things that John writes about, of course, that anybody else writes about. But we're talking about the writings of John here. Will he not keep his word? God is not a man that he can lie. God can't lie. God cannot lie because he's God and he is truth. Of course, he had no desire to lie anyhow. He didn't have to lie. He knows everything there is to know. And he has all power and wisdom and knowledge, and so he doesn't have to lie. But he wants us to believe, in the last part of verse 31, to believe that this man Jesus, born of God and Mary, was the Messiah of the Old Testament.
Yes.
Then 1,000 years before he was ever born, that God told David, he's going to have a son down the line. It's going to be a boy born. And he's going to be king forever. He's going to sit on a throne forever. Now, he's going to sit on a throne forever. Well, let's go back another 1,400 years. And he told Abraham the same thing. And this Jesus, John's saying, I write these few pages so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah that Abraham heard about. He's the Messiah that we go back another 1,000 years and we find Moses wrote about some of these things. And so You know, we need to believe God. This is what Easter's all about. This is what the resurrection is about. The resurrection did not happen just to prove that Jesus was the Messiah of the Old Testament. Okay. He resurrected because of who he is, not to prove who he is. His word proves who he is. God said who he was. And that's good enough. Should be. Okay, but even the miracles. How many times people say, oh, if we just saw miracles like we used to. Thomas saw them all the time. But he didn't believe it. So, follow with me just a moment in chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And a big sea, big body of water, kind of almost oval-shaped or heart-shaped or something. And an enormous, enormous lake. What, 17, 20 miles long, 7 miles wide, something like that. But anyhow, he showed himself to the disciples and he says, on this wise, this is the way he did it, John says. See, he's writing things to prove to people, to convince them Jesus is the Messiah. And so he says, they were gathered together, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, he's the one that said, I won't believe. And Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee. Oh, man, look at the last part of this verse 2. And two other of his disciples. Didn't even write their name written. Didn't he get their name written? Which two? Were they two of the 11? And then something. Boy, wouldn't that just aggravate you enough if you just quit going to church? Just quit serving God. Don't get my name mentioned. And two other disciples. Come on, John. You're better than that. You write two precisely. And two other disciples. Well, the unnamed disciples. You know, it doesn't say, in fact, to the contrary, these disciples did not quit. They were still there in the book of Acts. They didn't give up. They didn't say, well, thanks a lot, John. I was reading those notes that you had there about you wrote all these notes that you wanted people to believe that Jesus was the Old Testament Messiah, and you named the disciples except me and my buddy here. Actually, he referred to seven and named five of them that were there. Can you imagine? You know, we've really got our feelings hurt. No, they were sold out to who Jesus was. It didn't matter what happened. They're going to serve Jesus and die if necessary. Most of them did because they're sold out. They believe with all their heart Jesus is who he said he was. He had the power to forgive their sins. He was the Old Testament Messiah, the one that was spoken of in the Old Testament. Simon Peter, here's the way this happened, he said. Simon Peter said to the disciples, he said, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you. So they went forward and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. A lot of us can identify with that, huh? And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you poor fishermen, haven't you caught anything? No. He said, children, have you any meat? Now, he's not calling them children because he thinks they're childish or even a relationship to them, a connection with them, a very common term. Hey, buddy, any luck? It's kind of what he was saying. And they answered him, no. Just no. It's not, Well, there's not many internet, or it hasn't been a very fruitful night. Just no. He asked them, have you any? And they said, no. I mean, they had not gotten one fiddler. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And he didn't say, and see how that works out. He said, and you'll find them. This is amazing, folks. John says, I'm writing these things down so you'll believe. Now, there's a lot of things I didn't write, but I'm writing these things down so you will believe that Jesus was the Messiah mentioned that was coming, mentioned in the Old Testament, and that believing you might have eternal life. That's why I'm writing this. And so he writes in his book, Jesus knew where the fish were. Jesus knew where the fish were. That's pretty good, folks. He's a man who died and resurrected. He's standing like 300 feet offshore, which is from the back of the church there, they'll say to this wall, a little over three times. That's about 75, 85 feet. And he knows where the fish are. If you could be convinced that Jesus was really who he said he was, how deeply would you dedicate your entire life to him? I mean, your money, your health, your future, amen, your past. Or you would do that except that, well, if you could see certain miracles or something. You know, like Thomas said, I won't believe that except. And so he knew where the fish were. That's good. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We find out it was amazing. They were amazed that their nets didn't break. And that verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's how John refers to himself. He doesn't name himself. He doesn't say, I'm John. He says, well, there's this disciple Jesus really loved. And he's talking about himself. And John said to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. Okay, now Peter is a pretty presumptuous person. Peter often says and does things without really thinking it through. And, you know, he's the guy that cut the ear off of the fella there in the garden. He says, Peter, okay, let's look at the facts. Here's a man that says, we fished all night here, and we've caught not one, and he says where to put our net, and we will find them. We put our net, and now our boat's going to sink. It's got to be the Lord. It's the Lord, Peter. And so Peter throws his coat on and jumps in. Like I said, he's got about three times the length of the church here, so, Ms. Ruffa. And he heads for shore. Now, the rest of them, they headed for shore too, but, hey, you know, maybe we ought to take our boats. It's the Lord. Does this God that you and I serve, our God, when we get in a bind and we need guidance from God, do we believe he knows where our fish are, where our solution is, where the answer to our problem is? No, I mean every problem. Jesus knows where the fish are? Wonder how they got there. Wonder why they got there. You mean This guy talks to fish. I don't know, but maybe he's God. And so Peter takes off. And they were not able to draw their nets in for the multitude of fishes. In verse 6. And John says it's the Lord. Peter heard that. He jumped in. And verse 8, the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, about 300 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish were already on the coals. Wonder if Jesus remembered to bring his rod and reel. But he's already got enough fish there for 7 grown men. And note what he says in verse 10. Bring of the fish which you've now caught. The man that is already got fish there and got them cooking says, we need what you've got too. Bring us some more fish. And John says, I wrote these things so that you would know. You'd believe who he is. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land. It's full of great fishes. And who's counting? But there was 153. It's 153 fish. I would say that's a good day of fishing. You know, now Jesus could say, do you have any meat? Yes, we have 153. Not 152, not 155. We have 153. He counted the fish. It says, for all that, the net was not broken. I tell you, this Jesus thinks about everything, doesn't he? Well, and Jesus said, come and dine. And none of the disciples, even, what's his name? Thomas? None of them asked him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. It says, they knew it was the Lord. It would be good if we could come to the place, folks, to where we knew that it was the Lord. It's the Lord. Hey, whatever's going on in our life, does he direct our steps? Does he guide us? Is he there with us all the time? Is he really, really, really? Then we can say, hey, man, I don't know what's going on, but it's the Lord. Yes. Hey, the Lord's in. It's okay. It's going to be okay. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And John says in verse 24, he's talking about Jesus referring to John. But he says in verse 24, this is the disciple which testified these things. He's talking about himself having written this. We know his testimony is true. And there are also, the last verse in John, many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And John says, amen, so be it. So, friend, this book, the book of John, of course, John writes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John back towards Revelation and wrote the book of Revelation, but he wrote this book. He wrote the Gospel of John so that we might believe that he is the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the Old Testament, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And then believing that, we might have eternal life. Let's get a hold of it. Let's believe him. Let's believe him. Let's believe, no matter what he says, believe him. Amen. Believe him. Believe him. Read the book of John. Study the book of John from this perspective, that John wrote this. so that the reader might comprehend that Jesus was the Christ referred to in the Old Testament. Read it that way. Stand together with us. I want to thank those who are streaming with us for being with us. I thank you, all of you, for your patience. And I really do. I thank you for coming out. What a privilege it is to come.